Want more Justin, Desmond, and Jeremy? Check out patreon.com/soundsawesome. I don't want to grow up. And this is a movie for adults.
Although you wouldn't know it from some of the goofiness that is like in it. Some of the jokes are just so little kid-like, but it's 1985, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I will, you know, I don't want to grow up. I'll be your Toys R Us kid. But for the sake of this podcast, I will be your socialist husband.
Yeah, you will.
And that's how you knew it was 1954. All the fucking communist jokes.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you know that in the beginning, when the cook is in the kitchen, she's watching what the trials on the TV? It was the famous
the husband and wife, right?
No, it was
You're talking about the Nuremberg.
No, not Nuremberg.
Or no, it was not. Probably like the ending of the war stuff, wasn't it? All the war.
No. It was the trials, the red trials, or was when they were going after all the communists in Hollywood and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I can't remember. McCarthy.
I'm not totally wrong. I'm just thinking of an unnecessarily specific. It's been coming up a lot. I can't think of the husband and wife, but I've been watching Turning Point, the Cold War.
Talking about the Rosenbergs?
There we go. That's what I'm thinking. For some reason, the Rosenbergs have been like coming, like in all the other podcasts I'm listening to, like people are making like weird Rosenberg jokes. And then I'm watching.
They were like spies, right? Or something. Or, you know, suspected.
We're going to have to look this up. But I thought that they gave our nuclear secrets to the Soviets. I think they stole them.
Oh, that's the story that the Americans is based off of. Just kidding.
No.
I think some of the stuff that they do is kind of.
So Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were an American married couple who were convicted of spying for the Soviet Union, including providing top secret information about American radar, sonar, jet propulsion engines, and nuclear weapons designs. They were executed in 1953.
Wow.
I thought it was because they taught the Russians how to 69. I thought that's why they got in trouble.
Mm. How do you say that in Russian? It's in Cyrillic. Their numbers are backwards anyways.
It's
no svidanya.
I got the six. Give me your nine. Okay, my alternate.
Like Don Knotts.
My alternate opening, because I have to. And I mean, if you're a longtime listener to this podcast, which no one is yet, but eventually this will be an old joke. And these are my Parker brothers.
These are my Hasbras.
I got Hasbros and Parker brothers. Okay, I'm gonna go first. Oh, first of all, we're talking about Clue from 1985, rated PG. God bless the 80s. I mean, this is a PG-13, if not a soft R today.
Oh my God, the boobies that are hanging out in this movie are R-rated already.
And so much, like, not really looking at butts, but we're not looking at butts. The camera's not looking at butts, but all the characters are looking at butts.
Professor Plum is especially pervy. Christopher Lloyd.
Oh my God.
Well, first of all, what a cast, dude. Martin Mull, Christopher Lloyd.
I got IMDb open. Eileen Brennan, Tim Curry, Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, who I will hereby be referring to as Suzanne Sarandon.
Dude, I know. I thought it was Susan Sarandon at first.
I thought it was too. I was like, I don't remember Susan Sarandon being that pretty.
And
how dare you?
First of all, watch your mouth. I mean, I want to be in right now is a Sarandon Warren sandwich. I mean, let's get that right out of the gate. And Jane Weidlin.
Jane Weidlin.
Weidlin.
Thank you.
Who is? Oh, you probably listened to Jane Weidlin, didn't you?
I love Jane Weidlin.
Yeah, you do. You're such a punk.
I'm a Go-Go's fan, buddy. I love the Go-Go's.
But if you're not a Go-Go's fan, what movie is she from?
She is from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where she played Joan of Arc.
Yes!
Wow. Jeremy. Earning your money on this one, buddy.
Dig. Everyone, go over to Patreon and donate $3 this month to Jeremy Gaines.
Man.
Oh, fantastic.
You know what? Sometimes you have your niche, you know? you got that niche. You guys found mine. Sorry.
So, this movie was huge for me when it came out, and I can't figure out why.
Same.
I was 9 years old. I never played the game. I kind of knew these actors.
You never played the game?
I mean, I at 9 years old, sort of, but you don't like, you know, you're bad at stuff. And Jeremy is holding up his vinyl album of the Go-Go's.
Oh, my God.
I'll have to make you one of my special clocks, Jeremy. I got in a habit of making clocks out of records.
Oh, yes.
I sent Justin one. I got a Star Wars soundtrack album, and I sent Justin one with Han Solo.
Han Solo's face on it, yeah.
And I made mine out of Rey, and I made Cormac one out of... I made Cormac make his own, actually, when he was young and learning how to tell time. I was like, you're going to build a clock, motherfucker. That's how
God, he must have been little.
He was very little.
He's like, okay, why are you saying that? Why are we calling me?
I decided very...
And why do I got to be a motherfucker?
Yeah, but seriously.
I decided very, when he was way too young to care, that my fucking son was going to know how to tell time like a human being.
And next year, you're learning cursive, bitch.
He took more cursive than I did. Like, they're not going to do any more after this year, but his teacher was like, his teacher was like, you're going to learn how to read your grandma's writing. Like, you don't ever have to use
That's
this,
awesome. But you, That's awesome.
You've got to identify it as English.
Yes.
Also, just because you can read cursive doesn't mean that you can read your grandma's handwriting.
Dude, grandma cursive?
My grandma, you know, Grandma Reba, really immaculate handwriting, just like my dad.
Yeah,
like psycho, like serial killer nice.
My dad had great handwriting too. Isn't that weird? I have terrible handwriting.
It depends on what personality is out today. You know, if I'm the adult personality, I'm writing very tall, very clean, nice. Otherwise, it's like this.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
I am waiting to get
logic clue. Fuck shit.
I'm going to get audited someday just because my signature never matches. Like, they're just going to be like,
yeah, same, bro. I signed my name so much and it's no.
Every time. It's just totally fucking different.
The J is the same and then just some scribbles.
Series of squiggles.
Did your dad sign his name, Jeremy, or Dez too? Did your dad, like my dad, like good luck forging my parents' signature unless you had very, very fucking nice handwriting. Because my dad was like, was your dad like that, Jeremy?
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things where because mine and my brother's handwriting were so bad, when I saw my dad's handwriting, I was like, whoa, I know my mom had good handwriting.
Fucking Mike. Why does my dad have good handwriting too? Like
we've gotten
like
none
of
it.
Doctors. Yeah.
So I saw this in the theater. I think it was probably a summer movie. And I'm thinking the only reason I was excited is I was 9 years old. I was probably old enough. We lived 4 blocks from a movie theater. So that summer I was probably allowed to walk to the movie theater by myself. So I probably just saw everything that summer. And this was just one of them. And
so like you live close enough to walk to the theater.
Yeah, I honestly think that's part of why I love movie. I grew up in the HBO generation, but I think living 4 blocks from a theater really fed that too.
Yeah, I would say Jeremy and I is like having like you guys would come up all summer and we'd walk to the fucking store and rent movies at the little store by our house had VHSs. And that was what, you know, kind of fueled my movie fire all the time. And my Aunt Becky, too. She was always a movie and music like influence in my life.
So. Speaking of growing up in Sacramento, have you guys watched the Tower Records documentary? Oh, it's fucking great.
That's the Colin Hanks one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No. Do you know what it's on? I will watch it.
It just as I was saying it, I can't remember. I want to say it might be on Prime. It was definitely free. Like I definitely didn't pay for it, so it's probably Prime.
Okay.
Very.
So it's funny we talk about HBO. I kind of grew up just on the outside of the town, and right before we moved, we got cable for like a year and a half or 2 years
on Fishback,
and we happened to get HBO. Yeah. We happened to have HBO probably for free for like 6 months or something like that. And this movie was on all the time. It was probably 1986. So it just come out. And I never watched it.
Really?
I don't know why. I never really liked board games.
We never watched it together, Jeremy.
I know. No, I never really
liked board games. You and I never played Clue. I played Clue a lot. I think I played it with Lindsay too when she was older. I think it was me and Lindsay would play it.
I didn't like board games, Justin. Like, I don't like, you have to like sit down for like an hour and figure out all the rules. By the time you're ready to start, I'm always like, okay, I'm past this.
Yeah.
Which is funny because if you had to pick one of us that would be the case for and one that would really like board games, which one would you think?
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, I don't know why you
I like love board games. Totally. So the two board games I've played most of my life would be Clue and Scrabble.
But he's got to have a movie on in the background and Led Zeppelin yes. playing on the radio and a phone call going on and texting with three people. He loves board games. Yes.
I can get all my things done while we're playing.
I know. I'm with you, Jeremy. I don't play. I fucking love board games, but I don't play them as much as I'd like to because I don't play them often enough. And so I have to spend 45 minutes reminding myself how to play. Like, I love going to, we used to go to board game parties all the time. And so we'd go places where people played all the time. And so they had all the rules in your head and you could just sit down and go.
Yeah.
And it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, you know, let me make an addendum to what I just said. I don't like learning the rules and the whole setup of it. I do like playing certain board games, like Ticket to Ride. We've played that a couple times. It's a fun game. Like, I would love to go sit down and play that anytime. Card games, sometimes. There's a cardboard game called Sequence that my wife and I used to play all the time. Really like that.
Yeah.
Phase 10, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff that I've done before, but it's the 45 minutes to an hour. And it's always somebody, it's always a couple.
So you're not into Risk?
No, not Risk. It's always a couple trying to explain the rules, and then one's talking, and then they'll go, "Oh, but don't forget this rule where there's a double touchback that if they do this, you have to go back six." And I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Yep, it's always a couple and one couple going back and forth, reminding each other of the rules, and another couple just glazing over.
Yeah, it's like this movie. It's a whole run-on sentence. Like, this movie is literally. I can't remember what movie I described the other day as a run-on sentence, but this movie is like the dialogue starts and it just keeps on going. It's like a 1940s
movie. You're talking
about
Ready Player One. You're talking about Ready Player One.
It was
like,
was that what it was?
Yeah. I think maybe not.
There are no periods in this script.
So right. I remember like loving this movie. Maybe not loving, and that might be a little bit strong, but I remember really liking this movie as a kid because I played Clue a lot. And I always thought it was weird that was their names. Well, their aliases, obviously. And I didn't realize that, and you know, I'm sure this is probably for the movie, not necessarily the game, but that everybody was being blackmailed by the one guy or whatever.
Well, and that's not in the game. I'm pretty sure that was all.
No. But I did have a little fun with like it. It's like if you've seen Knives Out, the first one, it has a little bit of, you know, a little bit of like Agatha Christie kind of murder on the Orient Express. That they're doing it very pedestrian, but it's kind of that same thing. And I would have loved this movie much more if they would have just stuck to the puns, kind of tamped down the octoring a little bit, because it's just a little over the top for me. It's so campy and like it's fun for like a half an hour and then you're kind of like, Jesus Christ. But one of my coworkers, who actually I'm trying to get him to record like a 10 minute aside because they were just freaked out when I told them that we were doing Clue. Two things they pointed out to me is that one, it's like it kind of captures the feel of the board gamey. Like if you're now we're going to the conservatory and they did it here, like wrong, you know, because you're guessing who killed who, where, and what, you know, after a certain why. And I believe in the game, if you guessed, you had to like sit out around or something if you guessed wrong or something. But like it had that feel of like, you know, now we're running to the conservatory to see what evidence is there. So it's campy in that way. But like I would have enjoyed it a lot more because there's so many funny puns in this movie. First of all, it starts with a poop joke for like 5 minutes.
At least. At least.
Four or 500 people are just like, the one gal's like, like, is it my breath? They're like, Jesus Christ. You're like, so that, you know, that kind of stuff made me laugh. And just shocker that I'm into true crime. My favorite stuff when I was a kid was like, where in the world's Carmen Sandiego? Clue. You know, I'm just like, geez, shocker. I'm obsessed with fucking murder now. Goddamn. I'll figure out who did it. It was misguided.
Well, I think the problem, and if you played more chess, the problem is if you, like, the beginning of the game, everybody was... Like, there wasn't, like, a dungeon master who had to like sit out and just know who killed who with what where.
Right, right.
So like if you guessed, then you had to crack the envelope.
Right, and then you knew. I think there was one person who was kind of like,
I can't remember. We played, I actually played kind of recently because, I mean, it's been a couple of years, but, you know, compared to this movie, because I got at a White Elephant party, I got the Golden Girls Clue game. And it's who ate the cheesecake in what room?
That's amazing.
That's the mystery.
Oh, my God. You know, after watching this movie, too, I just realized I need more Tim Curry in my life. Every movie that I've ever seen him in, he's just outstanding. You know, he was Pennywise in the TV movie of It, which he was amazing in that.
Yeah.
But also, Justin, do you remember the movie Loaded Weapon 1?
Yes.
Oh.
Remember, we used to watch that movie all the time. It was Emilio Estevez and Sam Jackson before he was famous. But the bad guy in it was William Shatner, but his main henchman was Tim Curry.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
And do you remember he went to the door and dressed as a Girl Scout?
Yeah.
And remember that? And he's all, wilderness girls.
Whiz it.
Wilderness girls. I still think that, like, whenever I knock on the door sometimes, I think
of that every time I see Girl Scouts, and I didn't know what it was from. So thank you.
Whenever I knock on somebody's door and I know that they're looking through the peephole, I want to stick my face in there and go, wilderness girls.
It's two things. Wilderness girls or housekeeping.
Housekeeping, yes. Oh, yeah.
You want me to jerk you off?
I'm going to break all of your souls because I think of Chris Kattan in Corky Romano going,
hi, you guys want some cookies?
I haven't seen that one, so I can't
speak. Corky Romano.
Des and I
is fucking
Des and
great.
I put some time in with some Corky Romano. That is a fucking underrated movie. It is funny.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah. 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 Chris Kattan. It's
Chris Kattan when he played Mr. Peepers on Saturday Night Live. The episode with him and the girl from Dawson's Creek when she falls in love with him.
Oh.
And he's just sitting there eating the apples.
We watched the one.
Go back and watch it. It's hilarious.
We watched the one with The Rock in it like once a week.
Oh, yes. The Rock and Mr. Peepers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. Anyways, back to this
So
movie.
I do want to say, before we get too far away from Justin, I think their over-the-topness, you're right, it wears a little thin, but you're bringing a fucking board game to life.
That's what my coworkers said. They were just kind of like, dude, like if you start to think of it in the fact, like you've got some friends hanging around, maybe they're having some drinks, getting stoned, playing a board game, you start getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And Mrs. White, like I can't, is that her natural accent or did she just decide to put on her Blazing Saddles accent?
No, that's Madeline Kahn. And no, that is definitely not her accent. She actually uses that in, God, I saw her in something recently where I swear to God, she's like almost the same character. She's just, you know, just ridiculous. Very, very, very waspy.
she's like Michael Scott in improv every time. I'm going to be this person. Just like, oh, fuck. She's the goddamn German prostitute again.
Okay, you know what? Speaking of something you can't do right now, at one point, I think it's Christopher Lloyd. He starts trying to like demonstrate something.
Oh,
like,
God!
Lays her down, like spreads her legs and starts like trying. Like, yeah. What? Oh. What's happening, dude?
How about when the chef gets killed and they're going to try to pick her up and they're all like, and then the poor lady, they put her over the edge of the thing. I'm thinking, this poor actress, they had to pick her up and then they acted like she's like so
700 pounds
heavy.
yeah
and then they put her
Stegosaurus.
Then they put her over the edge of it so her butt's like sticking up in the air and she's wearing a skirt and I'm just like, oh, this poor actress, man.
God, I know. You see her panties, I think, too, at one point.
Oh, God. And then that one, I mean, obviously he's not actually dead, but she's got her lips on a dead man.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I was like, oh, that's good acting. I was like, oh, she's not acting. She's making out with Bernie.
Yeah, dude. Dude, again, they have a couple communist jokes. The socialist, her husband's a socialist. Like, oh, no.
Like the horror.
That was the, I watched this with my 8-year-old and the only time I paused it was to explain socialism.
Did you
it's
say
a, it's a great
walk
idea.
Outside, son, look around. We're in Berkeley.
Totally. I just read it from Google. I'm just like, I don't know how to fucking explain this. I was just like,
this isn't a one conversation explanation, but here's the basis. And you'll learn more as you get older. Just refer to this every time you question something weird.
It's not the worst ideology ever, unless you're already a billionaire.
Then they really don't like it.
They fucking hate it.
You want to take 1% of my money so that everyone won't starve? You motherfucker.
Fuck that. I worked for my 0.01%. You're my last hope. Like we've gotten lucky and kind of crossed paths in some weird places.
You know we have.
Have you seen Serial starring Martin Mull?
No, sorry.
Oh, man.
No.
No one?
Was that an HBO from the 80s?
Maybe. Like, I had HBO in the 80s, and I never heard of this movie until I got married, and I found out it was my in-laws' favorite movie, and Kelly had never seen it, because they always talk about the orgy scene in Serial, and Kelly's like, I do not want to watch a movie with an orgy scene in it that my parents like, and I became absolutely mesmerized by needing to find
Serial as in this food that you eat, or Serial as in Serial of... killer or
with an S.
Okay.
And the best part of this whole movie is that it's by an article from a Marin County newspaper called like the Stories of the Husbands and Wives of Marin County or something like that.
Oh, really?
Really? What year has it come out?
80. So it's like
1980.
It's like the most 70 movies that come out on the decade are always so fucking weird because they're basically, even though they're an 80s movie, they're a culmination of the 70s.
They're trying to straddle that line of 70s and then going forward, they're trying to have some new shit. And just...
Yeah. And it is so.
Tuesday Well, Sally Kellerman, Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great cast in a fairly.
Christopher Lee's in it.
Of all awesome. The shit that's come out. That came out in 1980. Like, there's no reason why that shouldn't be more popular with everything else. But
amazing.
It's so fun. And I still haven't got Kelly to watch it. And the orgy scene is two boobs and a red light.
Hardcore. You know, think about stuff that you watch now. Like, I know you guys watch The Boys, right? Like, those are orgy scenes.
Yeah.
Dude. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That one guy runs, then shrinks and dives into the gal's vagina. That's an orgy scene, buddy. Two boobs and a red light. Tell your wife she needs to calm the fuck down.
is it just me, or is it? I mean, God bless him. I love him. I'll watch him in everything. He's one of the greatest actors of our time. Watching Doc Brown be a sex fiend.
Weird.
It's a little upsetting, right? I kept thinking that, like, he makes, like, he's like kind of like eyeballing the boobs and he fucking starts dry humping what's her face.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I kept just thinking Doc Brown.
He's a great.
What's funny is this came out the same year as Back to the Future, too.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Tim Curry, you're right, though. He's always fucking creepy.
That's not the sheriff in Blazing Saddles, is it?
No.
No.
Who is he?
No, I think that guy had died by then.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Talk about the skinny.
Yeah.
The main character. Yeah. No, I think he might have died. He hasn't been in hardly anything.
He died tragically.
Okay. This must have been one of his friends at the beginning because this guy was in Blazing Saddles. And so he,
oh, was he
that really? guy's been a bit player in a lot of stuff.
Cleavon Little is his name.
Also the guy who plays Mr. Body.
Yes.
Yes.
Look him up, Des, real quick. Look him up on IMDb or just look him up really quick. His name's Lee Ving. Seems like an interesting cat. He's like in a punk band. He's like done all kinds. We were reading about him. Like he's got all kinds of stuff. Not too famous, like totally like bit player actor, but in tons of stuff. Still making music to this day.
He was a writer on Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just to be clarifying what I said, Cleavon Little, who was the actor from Blazing Saddles, he actually died in 1992. So he was still alive.
Okay.
But he was only, God, You know, he died in 1992 at 53. Madeline Kahn died in the 90s. She was like 57. You know, the
really
actors. Yeah, she died young, man.
Which one was Madeline Kahn in this movie? I forget.
Not Mrs. Peacock. Mrs. White.
Yeah.
The black haircut.
Yeah.
The short, like the short bob haircut type.
She died when?
She was 57 when she died. I don't remember what year, but it was, I think it was in the 90s.
Damn. I remember, I swear I saw her in something recently and she was just playing that same kind of character, glasses. You know, I might be mistaken here for another actress.
Yeah, so I was gonna, when you said that, I thought, oh, you were watching an old movie.
You know, sometimes like Megan Mullally, she kind of plays a character and she looks a little like her. She has her hair cut short, like that kind of like just
yes.
kind of straight Karen that's just kind of just barely holding on to the psycho.
Ron Swanson's first wife. Or second wife. Second wife.
You know that's his wife in real life, right?
Second Tammy. Yeah, Tammy too.
That's fucking fantastic. Fucking so great.
So Madeline Kahn died in 1999 and she was 57.
Michael McKean. Holy mother of God. Fuck. I was going to say, I always forget his name, but he's been in everything. 250 acting credits.
For Michael McKean?
Michael McKean?
For Michael McKean. Yeah.
Dude, wow. Better Call Saul, the most.
Exactly.
Like, recent. So good.
So good.
So good. Also, he's Lenny from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Also, he's in Spinal Tap too.
Yeah.
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 And also, and like in his early 50s or maybe late 40s, was on Saturday Night Live. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They totally. Brought him like, Saturday Night Live.
For like 3 or 4 seasons.
Was he in the oh shit, I can't think of any of their names. The guy who played Iron Man and the guy who was in Weird Science, like
No. This is way later.
Anthony Michael Hall
and
no, way later than that.
Really?
And Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't during that debacle?
No. This is like in the late 90s.
Those guys were only on for like a season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Julie Louise Dreyfus was also
yeah,
that year.
Yeah.
That's crazy that she didn't last very long on Saturday Night Live. She's pretty funny.
She was just part of a shit show that they were just like, I think they
we're going to flush this entire cast.
I think like Eddie Murphy came in towards the end of that thing and they were just like, everybody but Eddie, get the fuck.
There was an episode that was the last episode of the season and they said they did a skit and it was like all of them in a room and Lorne Michaels walks in and says, I don't think it was Eddie Murphy because I think Eddie Murphy had left by then, but he grabs.
Yeah, he was off pretty early.
He grabs one person. Was it John Lovitz or Dana Carvey? It might have been Dana Carvey. Walks into the room and says, Dana, come with me. And then they show a bomb going off and all of those people got fired for that season. Right. And he was the only person that came back.
I think I remember what you're talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've only seen it on documentaries about Saturday Night Live.
It's so funny.
That's a show that like they need to like just make, someone needs to make all of those. Like they need to release the original cuts of SNL with the cut skits from Dress Rehearsal. Like just fucking.
Dude, totally. Totally like deleted scenes, you know, just go and just like let it go. Cause you know they have so much cutting room floor stuff that's probably just fucking, you know, just dirty. Can't even, I mean, think about it, dude. The 80s, Bill Murray.
Did you guys see the Shane Gillis one? The Shane Gillis Saturday Night Live? They cut the funniest skit. Well, maybe the second funniest skit. It was the Limu Emu.
Oh God.
Did you guys, have you seen it? It's on YouTube. You can watch it.
No so way.
He's playing the Limu Emu guy and they walk in and the emu, he's like, he starts talking and then the emu just pulls out a gun and shoots one of the guys that's on the couch. And he's like, what did you do? He's like, he was reaching for a gun. We're in a bad neighborhood. He's like, I didn't see a gun. And then the emu pulls out a gun and puts it in his hand. Oh, I'm telling you. You need to watch it.
That was a dress.
I already thought those commercials were funny. That's even better. Jesus.
Oh my
God.
I died laughing.
Looks like,
man,
a gun to me. Oh, police corruption that ruins people's lives. Hilarious.
So Clue. So we just go through anyone out there who hasn't seen the movie. They're running around a mansion. Their people are dying. And of course it's
many secret passageways.
It's the movie, so they can't kill. Like the whole point of the game is to find out who killed Colonel Mustard with what in what room. Who killed Miss Peacock? but we got it. We can't kill off our main characters. So that so then all these side characters come in. We've got the blackmailer, the maid, the cook, the cop, the telegraph girl.
Did you guys just see that thumbs up on my screen? What was that?
What?
There was just like a thumbs up on my screen. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Is it working yet?
No.
Let me take it down.
I don't know. I like a thumbs up little thing just showed up on my screen.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's because of me. It's because there's like,
okay.
like, yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I move a lot when I talk. So everyone's always telling me about what's going on their screen when I'm moving.
Sorry.
So all these tertiary characters come in and they, so we're just running around the mansion. People keep dying. Oh, there's the hand. Jeremy raised. Oh, Jeremy. Perfect.
I was just messing with Justin.
I like that you pop. You actually changed positions in my screen.
Oh, really? Oh.
So it's like, oh, he's next.
Yeah, you move from the right to the left. Yeah, you move from the right to the left. It was pretty great.
And so, yeah, and so we're trying to figure out who the murderer is. And we get all the way to the end. And it's just kind of like it just turns into a Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
Ending.
I got some trivia for you about that, actually. No, go ahead and finish.
I'm pretty much kind of, I mean, without, I'm not ready to go all the
do
way.
Do you know that. Why? Do you know why that it's a Scooby-Doo ending? Like, there's like kind of three different endings right there. Like, there's three different things. Do you know why?
Well, is it?
When they released this, they gave a different ending to every theater. There was three different endings. So you could be potentially, you know, in the same town. Like, Jeremy, like, we could have both went to see the movie in Manteca, or I would have went in Sacramento. You like, oh, man, it ended this way. You'd be like, what? Fucking. And for me, in the age before social media, I think that's, I mean, I guess a little gimmicky little bitch, but that's kind of ahead of its time. That's pretty cool.
I don't know any other movie that's ever done it.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Do you guys?
I'm sure there has been, but I mean.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure there
that's
is.
Pretty cool.
Well, it's fucking weird, like, what pops up. I was just, well, I've seen Lethal Weapon 1,000 fucking times. I bought a box set recently. I threw in,
of course you have.
I threw in Lethal Weapon and there was a scene I'd never seen before. I was just like, what the fuck? And it's not like labeled director's cut, special edition. It's Lethal Weapon 1-4.
X-ray.
And it's just weird what they've like kind of decided to throw back in and like, I don't know. I kind of like it, but I kind of get like I've never the Star Wars special editions have never bothered me because George Lucas made such a big deal about what he was doing. Like, but if George Lucas had just like shh
and then put it out
and changed it, it would have been like no, motherfucker.
Oh, you mean like when Han steps on Jabba's tail?
Yeah. Yeah, like if that just showed up in 1998, you just came back from Blockbuster and we're like, whoa, did I just get Mandela affected or what? and like, that's how I feel about Lethal Weapon. It's like, this is kind of cool, but you gotta warn me what's going on, what your intentions
are. It's like early 2000s, you caught a bootleg DVD. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
I mean, this must have like, and it happens on TV a lot. A lot of times for a while there in the 90s, they would like to make the runtime work with the commercials. They would like sometimes throw a scene back in there to make up 90 seconds or something. So yeah, I mean, this must have really fucked with some people for a long time. Like, because
you can just look it up on the internet, you know, like, oh, you can't just Google, is there two endings?
Yeah, or like, because even like, even the projector, even if you found the guy who was running the projector, he'd be like, I don't know. This is the ending they gave me.
This is the one I got, man. Dude, also,
I just cut the tape together.
Just going to say, I wonder if the reason why we hate movies that are over fucking, you know, 95 minutes, 2 hours is because we're fucking 80s kids. And that was the fucking first thing that they set up is how long are we going to make this fucking movie so people don't get bored and leave the theater? 90 minutes-ish. That's the fucking attention span of the American audience.
Yep.
And sometimes they were a little shorter, sometimes they're a little longer, but it was, you know, usually a reason. But you can say how much stuff was cut out of like some of the movies that we love, you know, and because they had to make it that fucking runtime for, you know, TV runs, you know, like you were saying, commercials, whatever. Now people are just like, I'm making this movie. Like, I swear to God, if I'm going to go find Martin Scorsese and just put him in a grave myself, if that guy makes another fucking 4-hour movie. Dude, have you heard of a fucking miniseries? They were super popular in the late 80s. 4-part series. I'd watch the fuck out of it. I am never, ever going to sit down for a 3+ hour movie again in my life. Never. Unless it's Star Wars. Maybe. And even then, they smartened up by making that episodic because
yeah.
last couple movies, you're like,
did they?
They did. They smartened up on runtime, Jeremy. They didn't fix anything else.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hang on. Before we get off that. Yeah. It's kind of interesting to see, like, you know, the original movie theater, it just ran all day. They had like mini movies that played all day. You paid your nickel and you could go in and out of the theater all fucking day, and they just played shit.
Yeah.
And so it was short movies, but they played all day. And then, you know, and then movies only catered to adults. And so in the 60s and 70s, you actually have a lot of 2-hour movies because it's only adults who are going. And then like, and then in the 80s, they're like, oh, kids are the real suckers. Like, you know, parents, you know,
get those those fucking loser mall rat kids fucking hang around the mall all day with no fucking shopping agenda.
And you're getting to a point where like, also there's multiplexes. And based on if your movie is 90 minutes, they'll show it 6 times a day. If your movie's 2 hours, they'll only show it 4 times a day. So like right there.
That's true.
You're
right,
like,
there.
Yeah. So multiplexes are keeping it down. And then now we're getting to the point where, you know, movies are so expensive, they're charging more for tickets. So they, you know, they're like, okay, we got to give people a 2-hour and 15 minute experience if they're going to spend $16 for a DX ticket or whatever. So it's kind of like flux, and now people are getting sick of it again, and it's kind of going back down where it's like maybe 100 minutes is a fine time to tell a story. The problem is tickets aren't going to get any cheaper. And so like there are a lot of people, I'm sure there are a lot of dads out there. They're like, oh, I'm spending $12 for, unless it's over 100 minutes. That's how they get you.
That is how they get you.
Dude, I can't remember the last movie that I went to see in the theater. I think it might have been Han Solo. Might have just been Solo.
God, I fucking love the theater.
But also, I'm an adult. I won't go to movies now unless there's fucking alcohol there and food, because I'm not sitting that long without some snacks. And honestly, man, especially when stuff coming straight to like your home, I like to take bong hits. You can't do that in the movie theater. So
I like to be where I'm expected to turn my phone off and no one can fucking talk to me. That's why I go to the movies. I'm in a dark.
Well, and also cinnamon bar, I could hit my fucking vape pen and drink all the time. So that's why we went there.
Get a big bucket of popcorn, big ass soda, lots of room on the left and right of me. So, yeah. So and did they say, so were all three endings put on the first VHS run? I don't know if you guys, how deeply
that I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was, I think it said,
like, I think that was just like this.
I think it's subsequent movie, like when it came out on HBO and things like that, they showed all three endings and in the VHSs as well.
Okay, so the mystery didn't last, like I said, like until people were like bought the DVD in 2002. And
well,
like,
back, yeah, no. That's crazy.
You know what's funny? I was reading on the IMDb trivia too. Carrie Fisher was originally cast as Miss Scarlet.
Ooh. Oh, dude, that would have been so much more awesome. Not that
she had to go to rehab.
Fucking hot. No, Princess Leia hooked on death sticks.
We all had to go to rehab in the 80s.
I was gonna say that's probably when she wrote like Postcards from the Edge. So it probably worked out for her, you know.
Dude, I've never actually watched that movie. I've only seen clips of it. My wife talks about it all the time. And it was just
like, I've never seen it either. But I was like, oh, Carrie Fisher wrote this movie? That's kind of cool.
Until you realize it's about her mom.
She was kind of known as a script doctor.
Oh, really? Was she a puncher-upper?
Yeah, she's a genius, dude.
Yeah, she would go in and just like, they'd be like, you know, this needs something, you know, or something. And she would just come along and...
She is savagely funny, dude.
Throw a Wookiee in it.
God, that'd be the...
She would fucking... She would just like, boom, like drop bombs on people. Oh, I feel like this is kind of like an original, like the red herring. Like it's like, obviously not the origin, but it's like, you know, I feel like they were really playing it up in this. Oh, last cameo. Jeremy, the cop.
Oh.
Cameos in this?
What show, Dez? Come on, Dez.
I can't. If I could picture him, I can't fucking picture him right now. Hold on.
Head of the class. It's the teacher from Head of the Class.
Yes, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Even further back. And you should get this too.
Barney Miller?
I'm going to give you a name. Lonnie Anderson.
That's got nothing to do with it.
How about Lonnie Anderson?
Where do you get Lonnie Anderson?
Why, what's wrong with Lonnie Anderson?
I like Elaine more than Lonnie Anderson.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, WKRP in Cincinnati?
Yes, yes.
To love that shit.
I was more of a head of the class guy.
Dude, I was way WKRP in Cincinnati. And that show was funny as shit. That show, you know what? I always loved stuff and I didn't realize until I got older. I didn't really even get the jokes, but anything with double entendres, I fucking laugh. I still think it's funny to this day. And I didn't even get them when I was little. There's tons of them on WKRP in Cincinnati. There's tons of, God, go back and watch some Scooby-Doo episodes from our time. Holy shit.
Well, there was no such thing as Scooby-Doo episodes from our time. They were all from our parents' time. So those came out in the 1960s. We were just still watching them.
The ones that were, because they have new episodes now, but the ones that we were watching when we were kids, dude. Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. I haven't watched them in a while.
Yes, dude. There's a lot of weed references and like lots of weed references. And there's not too many sex references. Usually they're drugs, man. They're always weed references. They're pretty wholesome as far as Scooby-Doo goes, but you'll catch stuff and you'll be like, wait, what?
Yeah. Scooby-Doo is one of those shows where like every time Shaggy,
it's kind of edgy.
Every time they're not on camera, they're smoking weed.
Yeah. And it was just obvious.
Justin, though, Martin Mull, his best character in the best TV show, Gene Parmesan. Interesting development. If you were really a super fan, you would have went,
oh God, dude, Gene Parmesan.
Oh,
as soon as you said it, I was like, oh God, I don't do like
he'll
for side characters.
Captain Lassard to me.
Captain Lassard.
Captain Lassard
in fucking Police Academy.
You mean Commandant Lassard?
you asshole.
What? Is it not?
Lieutenant Lassard. It doesn't. Policeman Lassard.
Mahoney.
You're focusing on the wrong word.
You got it wrong. I don't think he's in that.
Howard Hessman?
No, he is. He is the like the lieutenant. He's like the lieutenant. And then there's the older guy who's like the commissioner or whatever, you know.
Commandant.
Yeah, commandant. Right. Yeah, him. And then the other guy's like the lieutenant that's always like, Mahoney.
The one who's getting blowjobs behind them.
Yeah, that dude was the fucking...
Punky Brewster's dad.
That's Commandant Lassard. But I forget...
That's Punky Brewster's dad, right?
See, I actually always forget that they're brothers in that.
Steve Guttenberg, really?
No, the Lassards in Police Academy. It's the Commandant and the Captain are...
Oh, okay.
I forget that they are brothers.
Oh, right. Oh, Jesus. I think that's all I got for this one.
What did he find?
He said he wanted to tell us in person.
Don't get up. I just find the supplies because I'm a private detective. Gene Parmesan, how are you doing?
Gene! Oh, Gene, isn't he the best?
Gene was far from the best.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
No, I was just going to say, it's one of those movies that's so of the time. Even though I think it was, honestly, they were trying to make it more like a 50s movie because of the dialogue, that quick, witty dialogue that was just... One person talks while the other person, like, as soon as they finish.
The campiness and, like, the overacting, totally.
Exactly.
Well, and you have a lot of famous actors in the show, so they're all trying to, like, you know, flex their muscles, if you will.
How has this not been a stage play? It's got to be.
I would think.
Someone had to have done that. It's ripe for it.
I'm kind of surprised it hasn't been remade.
So there actually is one in the works. I guess Ryan Reynolds, it says Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman were trying to remake it.
Oh, shit. I'd watch that.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but they've been in movies before, and I haven't seen any of them.
Go watch The Change Up.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Fucking hilarious.
Okay.
We're casting a new clue. We're just going to do the six main characters.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Who, first of all, who is Tina Fey playing?
Mrs. White.
No, not Mrs. White.
Mrs. Peacock. Mrs. Peacock.
I think Peacock. Yeah.
She's at that age now.
Yeah.
She can do God, you are just got a. You're just a dick to Tina Fey.
I don't like her. I've never liked her.
God, you suck. Tina Fey's awesome.
What?
Madeline, who's Mrs. White? Who's got a nice bob? I'm trying to think of someone who's got a good. Well, now I just want the cast.
Why not Megan Mullally?
Now I just want the cast of 30 Rock to do this.
You know who I was thinking? Mrs. White? Scarlett Johansson. She's at the... I bet she and her would be about the same age.
No, I veto that. I hate Scarlett Johansson.
I was going to say Jennifer Lawrence, but she's too young. So ScarJo is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
What about Jennifer Garner?
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
I'm not mad at that.
As Miss Scarlet?
Yeah.
Or wait. Yeah. Who were we just asking about?
So I was saying.
Mrs. White.
I was saying Mrs. White for
Scarlett Johansson. Jennifer Garner. No, I think Gardner as Scarlett. I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
And then okay, Plum Green and Mustard.
Who's the modern day Christopher Lloyd?
You and McGregor as Mustard.
Oh, how about we just get all the Chris's? Chris Pine. Chris Pratt.
There you go.
Chris Hemsworth.
It's done.
I could get behind that. Those guys are all funny.
Or the Ryans, or Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds.
What's the third one?
I don't know. Who's the third?
Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. There you go.
Boom. Nailed it.
Nolan Ryan. Who plays Wadsworth?
Well, I know
that I want to get a cat and name it Wadsworth.
What's his name? God, I can't believe I proposed this game because I can't remember anyone's fucking name.
Mr. Body, Tim Curry.
No, for the chef, we're gonna do a role reversal on the chef and do what's his name? Another guy from Taxi who works the office in
Judd Hirsch.
No.
Oh, Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is gonna be the chef.
I was gonna say just go full famous cross and just make it Gordon Ramsay or Bobby Flay. You get to die in this movie after 5 minutes. I'm in.
Oh, even better now that I'm on the Danny DeVito kick. We need to find. I don't know. They've got enough dirtbag sidekicks.
Scarlett Johansson can play the stupid French maid.
Yvette.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't. You know what? Now I don't even. I can't stand Scarlett.
Why do you hate her so much?
I just don't. She's a terrible actress. She's awful. Everything I've ever seen her in, I can't stand. She sucks as Black Widow. I don't like her.
I can get behind that. I mean,
she's got thick ankles. She's got thick ankles. She divorced Ryan Reynolds. Should I fucking keep going? She's got a fucking stupid face.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds really lost out on that. Poor guy.
Yeah.
I think she really left him to hump manhole covers the rest of his life.
Yeah, Blake Lively's pretty much better. But I mean, like, if I've ever seen her in anything good, I'd be like, oh, okay. But like, every time I see her, I'm just like, God, you're terrible. Like, oh, when they're like, oh, there's a Black Widow show, I'm like, God, fucking kill me.
Hard pass.
Hard fucking pass. Okay, I'm getting a little drunk. Hard pass.
Well, we keep thinking of so many young actors. Like the actors in this, they were, I guess the actors we're talking about are probably in their 40s.
I'm going to say, how old do you think Scarlett Johansson is?
People look better in their 40s. These
guys. The thing is that I saw a meme today. It's Wilford Brimley at 52 next to Paul Rudd at 52. And hey, you know what? I'm just going to say that we're leaning towards the Paul Rudd side, okay? I looked up this thing with like it was the cast of Cheers like in their heyday.
Oh,
and they're all
28. Dude, what's her 32. Face
was in her 30s. Yeah. Fucking Carla was in her 30s. Ted Danson was like 37.
The 80s hairstyles were rough.
He was like one of the ones that looked. Dude, Cliff Clavin was like 36, dude, when he was in it. And same with Norm. Like those dudes were not old. And I was just like, you guys look like you were in your 60s then. Holy crap. It's like what you said, talked about the Barbie movie. She looks better now.
Yeah.
Rhea Perlman looks younger now. I mean, I thank God for Botox, I guess, but
I think she just ate. She just started eating right. She just, if you made it to the 90s, if you made it to the mid 90s,
everybody quit smoking cigarettes. Yeah.
If you survived,
no more cigarettes.
Yeah. So great.
I think that might be it.
And cocaine probably too.
Oh my God. I really, I was like, oh, this movie, there's a lot going on in this. We are going to talk a lot about this movie. And we talked a lot, but
I don't know if we talked about the movie at all.
We did.
We did. No, it's this, the movies are just a conversation starter and holy crap.
Oh, did they, you know what? I think Professor Horny Plum should be Johnny Depp.
Oh my God! I was trying to figure out where Johnny Depp was gonna sneak.
He'd be like, "You probably suffer from the pressure of talking."
No, he should be the Tim Curry, just since he's just running around yapping his fucking mouth.
That would be pretty great, actually. He could do his fucking Jack Sparrow run from room to room. That'd be pretty good. I'd watch that. All right. I was trying to think of someone who would really kill Colonel Mustard. The dude that plays Tywin Lannister would be a good colonel.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the name of the fucking actor, but he'd be a killer Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, you're right. That would be good.
I'm trying to think of a plump. So who's a pervy actor that's like Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Just like I said, when he starts humping Mrs. White, I'm like, this seems not okay.
Inappropriate. Inappropriate.
Like you said, trying to imagine Doc as a sex fiend is just kind of like ruining my childhood right now. Probably especially for you, Des, because you're a real big Back to the Future guy. I'm not nearly as big of a Back to the Future person as
it's, you. It doesn't ruin it for me. It's just a weird... the thing is that he's a great therapist. So I can see why they're like, ooh, we need a therapist character. This guy will be perfect. And then they're like, oh...
Oh, yeah. He nails it. It's perfect.
he's sorry, I'm having trouble digging up my rating system as usual.
I do love that they all had government jobs or were connected to government jobs, except the madam. She just, you know, provided services for all the people in the government jobs.
Yeah, it was good. They did a really good job, that's the one thing about this movie being in the 80s. Like, I feel like if they remade this movie, it'd probably be just fine. But if they made this movie for the first time today, they would either try too hard or not hard enough. Like, and there's just a perfect like setting it in the 50s really helped to anchor it. And then, you know, having actor like, you know, a lot of these people, I think, are stage actors or at least spent a lot of time on stage and.
Or spent some time on stage, yeah.
And it was well written. It was well casted. I mean, you know that, like, I mean, even today, they're like, really? You're going to make a movie out of Battleship? Like, which is a terrible movie, and it's not a good idea to do it. But, like,
a horrible idea.
But, like, can you imagine in the 80s, just like, people just like, no, you're not going to turn a fucking board game.
You just have all these stock shots of, like, World War II battleships. Like, barely color, grainy.
Oh, no, you've seen, you know there's a movie called Battleship, right?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying if they made it in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, it'd be all that stock footage of, like, World War II destroyers.
We are going to use our rating system for this, folks. We take a video game rating system, which are often, you know, kind of a little bit different, not just easy, medium, and hard. This one is just a three-level system. I was looking for Clue. I looked up Clue. I have this huge page, so usually if I search for any word, it'll come up. I could not find the word Clue anywhere on this massive document, so I searched the word board, and I found a game called Overboard for the PlayStation 3, and it had three difficulty settings. You ready? We've got is our three-level rating system for the game Overboard. I never go first, so I will go first. I guess with a three-level, I would love to give this a little bit over 50%, but I cannot give this, you know, if it was a five-level system, I might give it a four. You know, if it was a four-level system, I might give it a three. But with a three-level system, I am just going to give it a two, because this movie, I guess it's because it is a play on screen that after a while, it just, there's only so much they can do. There's only so many places they can go. There's only so many mysteries they can tie us up in. And as cute as it is to watch Curry run around at the end, I mean, the last 25 minutes of this movie is all exposition. As Tim Curry explains the ending that isn't even the fucking ending, I guess. Like, I guess they tell us that this is what really happened, but try telling someone who saw one of the other endings the first time in the theater, like, that'll always be their real ending.
Exactly.
So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 3. If you haven't seen it, fucking see it. Like, you know, absolutely. I would say have a night. you know, play around of the board game while you're having a few drinks.
Yeah, put it on while you're doing your game night.
Wait until you're done. Like I said, have a few drinks while you're playing Clue, and then once you're a little buzzed, sit down and just watch the movie and laugh at it. And it's an enjoyable kind of blast from the past. This is like where was the Clue level in Ready Player One? I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing? You like the 80s so much? Yep.
Dude, for real, because it was board games and video games, man, for sure.
Fuck The Shining. The Clue Mansion.
That would have been way cooler. Not as scary, but way cooler. I'll have to give it, you know, I'd love to be the dissenting opinion, but it's like, I'll have to give it a, ooh. I think that was kind of the second one, because it wasn't, you know. I have a lot of nostalgia for this game. I love Clue. Like I said, I played it more than Monopoly. But it's just, like I said, the campiness kind of turns me off as a, you know, 45-year-old. It's just like the puns, I'm totally there for the puns. But when you think of it as like, if you think of it as like people playing the game and they're getting a little, you know, getting a little tipsy and they're playing, oh, now we're going to the conservatory. Who did it there? And I'm trying to finish. I know we're done. Yeah. And I was just going to say, yes, it's a 2 and I have to go.
Love you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Good night.
We got to go.
All right.
Good night.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 13-year-old girl.
Don't look at the fucking reflection in the glass, guys, by the way. Jeremy, sorry. I didn't mean to shit on your rating.
Okay. Yeah, I give it a... No, it's fine. I don't even, what are we talking about anymore?
What are you rating? You can mute him if you want.
Oh, yeah. My,
just keep talking.
My rating is like a... My daughter, when she was 13, whenever I showed her anything, she'd be like, ew.
That's your rating for everything.
So you gave this a 0.5? You gave this a below an ooh?
No, that's a joke. Actually, I would say this, I would give this like a 3.5. This movie, I would recommend watch this. It is a...
You give it a 3.5 on a scale of 1 to 3?
Well, I thought I said, okay, you're right. Sorry. I was going off of 5. We've done 5 every time. Sorry.
No, we haven't.
Sorry.
So let's say 2.5. Let's go 2.5. Let's go 2.5 because
really,
this is like a product of the 80s, man. Like, honestly, so this movie didn't do good in the theaters, but I feel like it's like almost a touchstone for the middle of the decade. If you think about like the movies that were out, and because nobody had ever done a board game movie ever. And then no one ever did one after that.
Really?
This was the first one. And then probably Jumanji. But that's not a real board game.
Yeah.
The next one was probably Battleship, like you said, in like 2009 or whatever.
That's a good point.
So nobody had done one before and no one had done one after for decades. So it was really, it's an important piece of cinema, believe it or not. And the way that they tried to do it, here's what really irritates me. All right, we're gonna get on Wheel of Time for just a second. Okay. I've watched a few things lately that have tried to be loyal to the subject that they're trying to put on screen. I watched The Three Body Problem. I don't know if you guys have watched it.
Oh, we're only...
No, is that good? I want to get into that.
We're halfway through and we... Yes.
Okay, so I watched The Three Body Problem. There's a lot of differences because it's a Chinese book written in Chinese and Mandarin. And there's a lot of just Chinese characters. They made it more international, okay, which is understandable. But the high points, the things that are in the book that you want to see, boom, they throw it on the screen and you get to see it. This show, they take all the stuff that makes the board game great, right? All the people, all of the way that they can get killed, the secret passages and the rooms where you can get killed in, they're all in the show. What does the Wheel of Time do? All it does is disappoint us. That's all.
Not that. I'll be nice and say not that.
It does none of that. So that's my rant.
Those white cloak guys ruined me.
Yeah.
You've changed me, Jeremy. I'm gonna give mine another ooh. Like not all or no, I'm gonna give it a not the full ooh. But like you're right. This is like we were talking about decades. Like this is everything that was the 70s with just dipped in the 80s, just drenched. Yeah. Like all the actors were bigger in the 70s, you know, and they dredged, you know, they were all still acting and doing fine, but they put them all in a room, drizzled 80s all over them. Like Reagan's in the White House too. Like I feel like the communism and the socialism jokes, like if Reagan's not in the White House, like those don't hit as hard as they do. And in 1985, those jokes really hit. So
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've termed, it's really funny. I always think there's more movies based on board games, but we might be out of board game movies by the end of this year.
Yeah, you know, there's not that many.
You better, you know what? As long as we keep going, they got all those Mattel ones lined up, so there'll probably be a few.
We'll get some.
You know, I'll have to say, you know what, Jeremy, you're right too, and kind of actually what Des was saying earlier. It's like, I feel like this kind of opened the door for more theatrical type. I mean, I said Knives Out earlier, but like, if you really look at it, like, this is very much, you know, kind of that same. Obviously, it's not.
This is like this is a Kevin Smith movie. Like, there's less dick jokes, but just the like the no breath between between lines. Yeah.
Dialogue that no one would ever say.
Yeah, no one actually talks like this, but we love it and we repeat it. And
so I'm gonna change my my rating from an ew to an ooh wee. Awesome. It's a Mr. Poopy Butthole.
See, people, we've got great critiques. You just gotta hang in there till the end when we really start to talk about the movie. So you're welcome.
We just basically fuck around until the last 10 minutes.
Now that you're all caught up here, why don't you head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome, where $3 will get you our whole lineup of exclusive podcasts. That's right. $3 gets you 12 exclusive podcasts. That's not $3 a podcast. $3 gets you all of them and puts you in prime position to continue and receive an exclusive podcast every 2 weeks at patreon.com/soundsawesome.
Oh, also, Sting, real quick. I was, you know, 42. We're listening to the song Roxanne, and I'm like, is this song about a prostitute?
Yeah.
My wife's like, dude, yeah. Are you kidding me? And I was like, I don't know. She was like, yes. How long have you been listening to this song? I'm like, my entire life. So have a great night. And just let me say, Roxanne, you guys don't have to put on the red light. You don't have to put on the red dress.
Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night.
Roxanne! Oh, I hate myself. Bye, guys. Love you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And Tobias gets medical attention.
Thank God, a new doctor. Finally, he's going to get a straight answer in this place.
I've got some bad news. I'm Gene Parmesan. How you doing? But I did overhear that he's bleeding internally.
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson?
What, there's something wrong with Lonnie Anderson?